This is Gaten the Mecha, the weekly anime and manga show where we take things one step further. I analyze everything from arcs to OPs to episodes in my wacky but enjoyable quest to make sense of all of it. Welcome back to Gaten the Mecha, I'm your host Jamal today, and in today's episode, we are taking a bit of a look inside comedy anime and what I think constructs comedy anime. Comedy anime for me has been a very big part of my time in the medium. I've enjoyed it from the almost start, starting with shows like Danchi Kokushi no Nichijo, and now having favorites like the recent Kaguya-sama season, as well as Sakikuzo being an all-time favorite, and a few others. But one thing which I've never really questioned is what exactly makes this funny. And this podcast isn't really made to try and question what comedy is. I know on some things I question what is beauty and what is etc. That isn't really the intention of this episode, but it's more to try and figure out the appeal for myself and what really I think makes comedy anime so appealing, as I just said. The two anime which I'll be using to try and figure this out is Kaguya-sama Love is War, as well as The Disastrous Life of Sakikuzo. Before we start the episode, I just want to say thank you very much for all the support. We recently hit 2,000 listens. There have been so many downloads coming in lately, and I just can't thank you guys enough for supporting me and listening to this show. It means a lot, and I'm happy that some of you guys at least get some value from the fun I'm having talking and analyzing anime. Here is the episode for this week, that is episode 55 of Gaten the Mecha, a look at the art of comedy anime. As always, I'll give you my quote-unquote alerts for this episode. Because we are talking about comedy anime, it's a bit hard to say spoilers because I may be talking about some of the jokes here and there, but not necessarily in a very big fashion and talking about the show as a whole. So I will say a minor spoiler warning for both Kaguya-sama Love is War, as well as The Disastrous Life of Sakikuzo, that is the entirety of those shows. So I'll just quickly run over what we said in the intro. Comedy anime is something which is really close to me. This format, which was very spontaneous and also very quick and on its feet, was one of the reasons why I decided to pursue the genre a bit more and pursue this sort of format, which I really desired. Also someone who was rather into, although maybe not into them as much anymore, but someone who was into the classic American sitcom comedy sort of shows. I was very surprised that anime could make me laugh in the same sort of way that a cartoon, besides it being slapstick, had the ability to make me laugh or humor me almost just as much as a live-action show. But in this episode of Gaten the Mecha, I think the attempt will be to try and pin down the framework which is humorous. Comedy on the whole is a weird thing. Throughout history and even philosophy, comedy has always been this wishy-washy element that we can't really nail down, or I haven't really been able to put my finger on. A good thing, just because I'm a bit of a philosophy nerd, was a thing that I found funny from Plato, where he speaks about how comedy overrides rationality and self-control. I found that really funny because it really shows that even now, hundreds and hundreds of years later, comedy isn't necessarily something we've nailed to define. I know there's a much more scientific and psychological way of analyzing humor and comedy, but I know I'm not a psychologist, nor am I anywhere near scientifically savvy, and so I'm not going to be trying to define comedy or humor in the scientific sense, because that would really be coming down to different conclusions. We're analyzing it on the literary level, on the written level. And with all of that in place, now we can really get into the analysis. And I'll be honest, I did write a bit more on Kaguya-sama just because I think a lot of the examples are a lot more applicable. When it comes to Sakikuzo, this is just a weird thing and personal thing for me, that I love Sakikuzo a lot. If anything, I find it a bit more funnier than Kaguya. I still love Kaguya, don't get me wrong, but I find it slightly funnier just in some elements. But I rarely talk about Sakikuzo just because I don't know what to say on it. It's just so good, and it's in my heart that I just really can't say much about it besides it's amazing. So when looking back and reflecting on the two comedies which I really love, Saki K and Kaguya, I kind of boiled down what I think, or where I think, the comedic elements come from in these anime, and it comes down to two things. The first is polarization or polarization and contrast, as well as the second being pace. When I say pace, just to be a bit more clear, I think I don't mean it in regards to episode per episode. It's more of the format, if anything, the sketch-like format, and I'll get into that later. I don't mean to be pedantic, but I think it is necessary that I sort of define polarization because it makes a bit more sense in context. Polarization refers to the sharp contrast of opinions and beliefs and such, and that is probably the cornerstone, I would say, of comedy anime, from what I've viewed and understand of it. These massive contrasts in personalities set up what I think is the main premise of the shows that I really like, and even from the synopses you can tell this. I'll go into an example when it comes to Kaguya. Kaguya, despite it having an element of similarity being the school setting, there's a high level of contrast between the characters, probably even more than average versus another anime, in a separate genre. The show on a very basic level concerns the differing psychologies and ways of thinking between Miyuki and Kaguya. That is fundamentally what drives the show. It's this conflict between the minds because they think so differently and almost opposites per se, but they think very differently and approach situations very differently. And that is the literal thing behind the entire show, because this conflict is what is stopping them from having some sort of romance, or at least it puts them or pulls them apart. Even from the title in itself, love is war. War is polarizing. War is a contrast between two sides and two sides or more's beliefs. It's funny though, because Kaguya takes polarization probably a level further that I don't even think, say, Sakikuzo does. On an individual character level, the polarization does not stop. In the case of Kaguya, we have so many examples of these mental battles within her. We have the pure Kaguya that we find in bed after getting sick and has a complete fit over Miyuki. And then we have the standard cunning and collected Kaguya, which is decisive in her decisions and is a long-term planner. We also have the sort of crazy and very angry Kaguya as well that sounds very sharp and piercing. A really great example, I think, of this being visualized was in season 2 when we had the almost court of Kaguyas, when we had her trying to battle out or have this court case against herself in regards to her decisions, and I really enjoyed that one. It was just a really good way of making the polarization, if you want to call it, or contrast a lot more visual and appealing. I think this was also built on again in season 2 when we had the hand on face gesture. That was a really good way of just showing these two different sides. It's even in the OP as well. But these different almost mini personality traits embedded within a single character, I think, is what makes these shows so exciting. If we were to have these constant, or although I'd say other shows do bend this rule quite a lot, but if we were to have these constant character models or types in the literary level, I think many situations would end kind of similarly because they become predictable. We know similar situations, or we can reference similar situations in regards to how they'll react because we know their personality and how they approach almost everything. I would say Sakikuzo, my other example, does kind of do this, but it still ends up being funny for some reason. Another great example of this contrast on an individual level would be Chika as well. This very passive-aggressive version when Miyuki doesn't get something right or doesn't want to go along with her way because she has this weird sort of boss complex within her on occasion. And then we have the standard happy Chika, we're living life, Chika dance style. This idea then expands to the rest of the cast as well as just the two main characters, Miyuki and Kaguya. Great example would be Ishigami and Mikoto. But even versus the entire cast, if we just take it out of these binary opposites, if we take the entire cast, they have so many of these in-depth contrasts within themselves and then they all contrast each other. I kind of made a joke in my notes, but I feel like Mikoto's like a mini authoritarian conservative within the group that thinks fun is obsolete and everything must be to the letter. Kind of like Kaguya, but takes it a bit further. Ishigami is almost the complete opposite of Mikoto, being the representation of anarchy and rebellion within a system or school council, which is meant to promote order and promptness and the rest of it. So loads of contradictions. This could go on forever. I could just say, I could do a whole episode where I break down every contrast or binary opposite within Kaguya. It honestly goes on forever, but that is the excitement, I would say, of the show. But what does this polarization actually do? I did explain it a bit, but just to round it home, I think what this does is that it gives way to these very extremely exaggerated moments, which come across as the psychological warfare, as I said, between Miyuki and Kaguya. But what is really interesting about this is that in contrast, again, to the setting of the anime and what the anime on a almost very basic level is about, it's about a school, it's about a school council. These two almost don't fit together, and it makes these characters look as if they're overthinking, which they are. They're overthinking a romance, a school romance, something which we're very used to within anime. There are hundreds of school romances, I'm sure, but what makes Kaguya comedic is that the very basic is taken to the extreme, and that is why I love this show so much. Romance, even at an older level or older stage, is not meant to be thought out as much as this, as much as it is thought out. Simple tasks like buying a phone or asking whether you want some of my food is taken to a very scheming level, to an extent which shouldn't really be done in a typical situation, and that is the fun of it, really. It's taking basic tasks and taking them times 10 to what is a very challenging and over-the-top task. Now let's put this in the context of Saiki Kuzo, another favorite of mine. The Disastrous Life of Saiki K also takes place in a school setting and is very similar to Kaguya when you think of it on the basic level. It's daily life, school. There's no school counselor at this time, but it's a group of friends, or what you can call friends, at least somewhat associates, and their daily activities. Similarly to Kaguya, some other pure basis of Saiki Kuzo is this fundamental contradiction between its characters. Saiki wants to live a normal life without being bothered. He wants his coffee jelly. He just wants to get through life. He already has these powers which warrant attention, or can potentially warrant attention. The other side of it is that Saiki is bothered by these people that he doesn't want to bother him. That's everyone from Hiro to Kaido to Terahashi to Nendo and everyone else. And so the challenge the result which comes out of this contradiction is Saiki attempting to escape the annoyance of these other characters. It really does end up being this almost culture, not necessarily culture, but personality clash between Saiki's blunt personality and the very weird and funny personalities of the rest of the group. I've heard this somewhere, and I don't know if I can confirm it. I'd love if someone else can confirm it, but I've heard somewhere on some, I think, comment sections on YouTube, and someone referred to Saiki Kuzo as Seinfeld of anime, being, from what I've heard of Seinfeld, again, I'm not gonna act like I've seen it, but about a bunch of bad people doing bad things, and you shouldn't necessarily like the characters or aspire to the characters of Seinfeld, but they're funny because they're all just so cruel and self-centered. But back to the anime, I think one of my favorite components of Saiki Kuzo, which comes from the contradictions, is Terahashi's character and how that conflicts against Saiki. The narcissistic, it's emotional, but it's also rather passive, because it feels almost like the Kaguya battle, and how most of it is thought out and fought out through their actions and within their heads. Both Saiki and Terahashi are brutally self-interested. One is seeking validation for narcissistic purposes. It is her goal to receive the praise and validation of everyone. Her counterpart, Saiki, is attempting to escape recognition in almost every sense, and only needs to be recognized by himself and his parents. He doesn't really care about the rest of the world to that extent. One thing that I think drew me to Saiki Kuzo right from the beginning, especially by the time we got Terahashi's introduction, is how what all the characters represent in some sense. Hiro is the extremely positive and extroverted guy, also taken to the maximum degree. You can see where I'm going here. Nendo being naivety taken to the maximum degree, and all of the rest of them. Their personalities on paper don't fit at all, but that is what makes it a funny show. It's how they feel almost forced together, but in a good sense, because we know that these characters don't match at all. But it's really seeing how far they can be fit together, and Saiki Kuzo throughout the entire show proves episode by episode that these characters can make funny situations because they don't go together at all, and that's the point. I also love, and I don't want to start a XY Kaguya versus Sakikuzo thing because that's not the attempt, but they are different shows in their own right. But I really love how in Sakikuzo, unlike Kaguya, they, although the intention of Kaguya is to hide these feelings inside, because as you are student council, what you are trying to do is represent being the face of the school and being punctual and formal and the rest of it. But in the case of Sakikuzo, it's just, they don't hide it at all. They are completely just themselves. And I think that that's something which I really like. It's the outrage which comes from it. Where this is sort of spun on its head when it comes to Kaguya is that the outrage is often internal, and that is how we get some very funny scenes as well, because it's Miyuki freaking out inside on how he's going to make his next move. Every play, if we use it in quotation marks, is one done internally, and also it's made a big deal by its narrator, because the narrator will then make it a big play when it doesn't need to be a play, and that is also another contrast. I know I said I'm going to stop on that, but that's also another contrast of Kaguya as well. This over-the-top director that feels almost out of touch from the entire school setting. It's like having a Dota announcer speak over you going to buy milk. The two don't fit together and they're not supposed to, but that is also what makes it this war-esque sort of situation. Before I talk too much about contrast and polarization, I think it's a good time to move on to pace and the formats of these anime, which I find appealing. I'll be honest and say that these aren't necessarily the most important things in these anime. I don't think the sketch-like format is valuable, but other anime over time have proven to me that this doesn't need to be done to this extent to create comedy. It's not a fundamental, nor is polarization and contrast. That isn't a fundamental element of comedy, because I'm not trying to define comedy. But nonetheless, I think the package that these specific anime go in do contribute to this very fun feeling. Both Sakikuzo and Kaguya-sama take place in this sketch format. It's divided by these different jokes, and if you want to call it punchlines as well. Saiki is probably a bit more strict with it, and it's 5 minutes for every skit. Mostly because when it was airing on TV, it would air 5 days a week, and there would be one episode per day in that 5 day period, and it would be 5 minutes. That would mean that every episode you're watching of Sakikuzo would be 1 week's worth of content. Kaguya likes to play with the formula a bit more, which I think is a really good thing to do. Some of the sketches or skits, I'm gonna use those interchangeably, but some of the skits in Kaguya almost flow right into each other. This was more of a thing in the earlier parts of the second season, as well as the election arc as well, which was a really good part of the show. But some of them flow from one to another, whereas others are neatly divided by this person is the winner, and then we move on. I would say the humor which comes out of the format, which is this person is the winner, is that it still manages to impose this warlike battle notion on something which really isn't a battle. And this is also part of the polarization thing. I would say that the contrast stuff does fit quite a lot into this other theme, but I just went to put it into this section because I think it's a bit more valuable to the pace and formatting. I wouldn't say this innately provides comedic value, but it's just that spontaneity which comes out of moving from one thing to another. It's the ability to prevent your audience from dropping off and getting bored. It does sound a bit, maybe a bit too presumptuous, that I'm assuming that the creators and writers, etc., believe that the show would get boring, because this is a great thing that they have, and even if it wasn't in sketches, I think it could still work very well. But it does have this joke after joke after joke after joke format. It's the constant, if we are to put it in Kaguya language, at war, or all the time, every second of the day. The spontaneity works very well for the format. It is pretty bog standard of a point, and that would also make sense in the case of Sakikuzo as well, but if I just get a bit more personal, I think when it comes to my watching experiences or viewing experiences of these anime, I love to binge these shows because I don't want to lose that adrenaline rush which I get from, say, watching 10 episodes of Sakikuzo in a row, although I don't recommend watching 5 or 10 episodes in a sitting, but it's that hit after hit after hit after hit feeling. The final thing which I want to talk about when it comes to pace and formats, although this isn't something which I said isn't as important, but I don't know if it makes it funny per se, but it's also how it's almost a bit ignorant to the typical ideas of development and progress which you'd usually expect in a chronological anime. Just to clarify, this isn't to say that chronology and time is ignored. In both of these shows, there is adherence to chronology. We get the summer holidays, we get the spring break, we get all of it. That is there within these shows. Not to say that time is void and doesn't exist in these anime. But the idea that progression and achievements come along with time, a very big component often in chronological fiction, is something which isn't really the big or main emphasis in these shows. The progression which I would say comes from these isn't the typical we've developed in our relationship or I've obtained a new friend over time, but it's more of these funnier jokes and these funny moments which get to build up and just have a lot of resonance for the viewer. This also works very well if we use the example of running jokes as well. A great example would be in Kaguya when we have the how cute idea. This builds up and has been applied to so many situations that it has almost more weight the further we go into the show, because Miyuki is constantly haunted by this ghost of Kaguya and has been haunted by her from the very first episode almost of the show. Saiki's goal is one which I think could almost be drawn out or strung out forever, although Saiki Kuzo technically has ended, and so that is a no point for me. But I would also say that from a personal point of view, because I love Saiki Kuzo, I think it could go on for a very long time with the original content and the rest of it. But that isn't necessarily just because of my love of the show, but it's also because the intention has never really been to find peace or resolve the main contradiction of the show. It's to keep it going, because that is funny, because we can't find it. And Saiki will continue to do that for a very long time. The enjoyment comes out of the constant disruption of finding peace, and even when we are close to it, it's always disrupted in some way or another, and I think the thrill for me comes out of observing how long this can be drawn out for, and Saiki Kuzo has proven that it goes way beyond 50 or so episodes. I like to think that Kaguya does a really good job of squashing this idea as well. In the finale of the second season, we get all the characters just flying out on hearts. We get the names of the voice actors. It's thank you for watching another episode or season, sorry, of Kaguya. And everything goes back to how it is, because that is what we love about the show. We love the repetition of it. Not particularly the repetition of the jokes, but the repetition of the... The pleasure comes from the underlying format of the contradictions between Kaguya and Miyuki. That is why we love it, and it keeps going and keeps going. And when I say it keeps going, just to be clear, I don't mean that in the most cash grab sense, that it keeps going and milking it out, because as the shows have shown, it's able to find new and creative ways for us to enjoy it. Unlike the typical romance anime, Kaguya gets its edge from having a different source of development or progression. The progression comes from the enjoyment from the constant disruption. So the constant disruption being the stalemate between Kaguya and Miyuki is what we enjoy. This is kind of an indirect to a certain YouTuber which I heard their commentary on Kaguya, and by all means they can have the point, but in my opinion I think that they're missing the point when it comes to the comedy. It's the psychological conflict and the overthinking which I think most of the audience wants to continue, including me. And if it was to be in this linear format of, as I said, going on the first date, having the first kiss, etc. I'm not to say that those won't eventually happen in this anime, but if this typical idea of development was one which was given into, it would really lose its edge and work against itself. I think it would be rather counterintuitive for a show like this, because the idea of Kaguya is that it isn't a normal romance, and giving into the typical idea of development, which is time versus progression or again development and the growth of ideas, that would make it lose its edge as the not normal romance, because these are two very, I want to say, abnormal, even beyond average intellectual people making romance hard for themselves, and then even on the flip side giving romantic advice at times and running and acting like authority when inside they are still both very inexperienced in some areas and then act as if they have experience. So what I'm trying to say is that I think Kaguya's entire premise is escaping the normality of romance and mocking romance. Maybe not even mocking, but it's taking it to its almost logical conclusion of thinking every step of romance to the maximum extent, and ridding of that is what is fun about Kaguya, and expecting a normal cycle of development or graph of development is the equivalent of getting rid of the fundamental source of enjoyment and satisfaction which comes from the anime. With my angry rant done about why Kaguya doesn't conform to regular development, that is the analysis for this week. But let's move on to the In The Moment segment. I'll just talk about one anime which I have watched recently. If you are new to the In The Moment segment, this is very simple, almost as simple as it gets. All I do is I talk about one anime, one manga, one light novel, though I rarely read light novels, that I have been reading or watching recently. In the case of this week, although it wasn't really this week, I've been tweeting about it for about 2 weeks ago, but this is the badminton anime, Hanebado. Hanebado is a weird sort of sports anime that I didn't expect, and I have watched other sort of sports anime which take slightly different approaches. The main one would be ping pong, but to be fair, I can't really say I've watched that many, so I'm not even going to go down that path. But Ping Pong, for example, would be the anime which I think turned sport into a philosophy. If you don't know, I do love Ping Pong the Animation. I spoke about it a bit on the Understanding Sakya episode. But Ping Pong the Animation, I think, is very transformative when it comes to sport. This is also a theme I want to speak about in another episode, but before I get too carried away, Hanebado does a similar thing, but I don't know if I like it as much. Hanebado does get a bit of criticism from reading what are arguably very unreliable MAL reviews, according to general consensus. I've read a few of these and they're not very positive. This anime is deemed as not very good, but I think it's okay. I'm not going to try and dive into the entire plot of Hanebado because there is quite a bit to explain, but let's just say that teenage girl joins badminton club. She has a past in badminton as well. Her inner competitive side comes out because she has a bit of a weird broken family sort of thing that happened, and part of it was to do with badminton, and then it all sort of adds together and it's paid off within a tournament arc. However, I'd say that there's this sort of weird existential element to Hanebado, which I find really weird. I think the term existential might be going a bit too far. I'm not saying this is the Evangelion of anime or anything like that. But it dives a lot deeper than I thought, trying to at least display the corrupt side of competition, everything from cheating to the toxicity of sports and the rest of it. And not necessarily in the most effective way, in my opinion, but it at least tries to demonstrate those, which I give it a lot of credit for. I think the production is also quite competent as well. I can't remember every animator by head, but there is a lot of real-life reference and there is a decent amount of rotoscoping in there. Maybe this is just me acting attacked, and it's not something which it's not even a gripe, it's just a bit of a weird thing with me, but I find it kind of weird how the show didn't really allow you to support the main character because they almost got so toxic that I just didn't like them anymore, and I just ended up supporting the other person who isn't, they're almost the good person turned bad, and the bad person, not even bad, but potentially a bit more salty, turned good by the end, and I end up supporting the person who I eventually didn't like. So that was a bit weird, but overall, it was a fun experience. I watched it in about 2 days or 3 days, most of it while editing, I believe, the podcast from 2 weeks ago. And so that is the In The Moment segment for this week, a bit of a shaky one. I don't really know what to say too much when it comes to the anime, but it is an interesting experience and I do recommend it if you want to watch something that's slightly askewed to the normal sports anime, which is everyone is good in the team, we all support each other and the rest of it. It explores some things which I didn't really expect to come out of this anime. But that's the segment. Let's just go quickly to the closing thoughts, talk about what you can take away from this episode, and then I'll wrap up the podcast. So what are the things I think you should take away when it comes to comedy anime? For me, I would say that there are two things which really make comedy anime funny, or at least have some appeal, and that is polarization or contrast, these differing beliefs and opinions and personalities, as well as the pace and format of which it's in. It's not only just contrasts on one level, but it's contrasts on multiple levels. And we have these contrasts within each other or within these characters, which then go against the contrast or other or latter contrast of another character. So these constantly clash and they create these different situations, which end up being humorous as they are different and unpredictable and exciting to watch play out. The main thing I would say to take from Pace, or my analysis of Pace in this episode, is really the differing view of development when it comes to these anime. What I did say there is that chronology isn't something that is ignored, but chronology X progress is not the fundamental means of development or progress as the show continues on. The fun and appeal for me comes from the almost lack of typical progress and the use of this atypical form of progress, which is progress in its contents and progress within its jokes and dialogues, rather than progress within its logic and development in its genuine story and narrative. Comedy for me has been the genre that tries to do something a bit different to the rest of them, and I can really appreciate how it tries to go against the norm, and most of the time it is successful in my opinion. Thank you for listening to this episode of Guest in the Mecha. That has been episode 55. Hopefully you did enjoy it. I think this will end up being a bit of a shorter episode, but I didn't want this to go on for too long and continue going down and milking these different examples, but rather cover the very basics of comedy anime, in my opinion, and the appeal which I get from them. If you did enjoy this episode, it would be really appreciated if you left it a review or some sort of comment on your podcast app, whether that's on the Apple Podcasts or wherever you do get your podcasts. But that has been the episode for this week. Hopefully you guys have a great week, day, month. 2020 hopefully is better to us in the coming month that is ahead. And yeah, I have been your host Jamal today, and this has been Guest in the Mecha. The music in this production goes as follows. 8-bit title screen by Joth, Mandatory Overtime by Joth, and Different by Chasers Gaming.